Hi, this is Alan Lindell, voice of Digibarn Radio. I'm here with Bruce Damer, who's going to introduce us to Mr. Goldberg, a person who played an interesting role in the early history of Apple and has a couple stories to share. What should we know about
Bill Goldberg, he worked in support engineering for Apple for many years, and as a result had brushes with many people and saw many systems come and go. And these guys are like pack rats. They hold on to everything, and that's why if you want vintage computer history, you go to the guys who are in support and maintenance and service.
Ah, and he shares with us a story about Mr. Steve himself.
Yeah, I believe there's two Steve Jobs stories in this one segment.
All right, well, fasten your seatbelts here. We're going to get into the psyche of Steve. Stand by.
And this is Digibarn Radio, licensed under the Creative Commons license, which means you can use this piece for non-commercial purposes. You have to attribute Digibarn Radio, and if you mix it in with something else and make a rib mix burn, you have to release that under the same Creative Commons license.
If you want no more, call us.
Or visit www.digibarn.com.
The early Macintoshes had a defect in their design where I'm not a hardware engineer, but the defect in the design would occasionally cause the computer to catch fire and smoke, and that happened to a number of early Macs. They had a free retrofit program for it, but
so this is after, just before the launch of the Mac, Steve Jobs came to you guys
and said that
in service engineering
and said, "We've engineered you folks out of the equation."
Out of the equation.
Mm-hmm. And we will not.
And these computers will never break.
Computers will never break. They will never need servicing. So that's what he told us.
So when you had that row of Macs that had this problem, somebody put a sign up there. What did it say?
With the quote saying, "These Macs will never need servicing." That's simply what it said on them.
Right.
And then it said Steve Jobs and had the date.
Something like in December of 83 or something like that.
Something like that. Anyway, the other Steve Jobs story comes from when Apple had become fairly well known in the commercial software industry as a place where Apple employees felt that they had a right to copy any software so long as it was for our machines. So here's a copy of Locksmith. Good for breaking that stuff. Anyway, so they had had a surprise raid on a couple of Apple buildings. So the software programmer association, the SPA, and some people at Apple got in trouble for that. So word had gone around about that. And human resources came into our building one day and said, "Everybody out in the parking lot now. In 15 minutes, you must all be out in the parking lot. Nobody should remain in the building." So we thought that our building was going to be raided.
Right.
So everybody suddenly was grabbing hard disks and boxes of floppies and running out to their cars and locking their trunks. And we all assembled, and they said, "Some of you may have been hearing rumors about Steve Jobs. Well, this is to let you know he is officially resigning from the company to go start Next Computer." And a groan went through the crowd, and people said, "Oh, is that all? We don't care. What are you bothering us with that for? We thought this was something important."
Oh, my goodness.
So, anyway, that was the other.
Wow, that was the day in 85, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yes, it was.
Everybody in the parking lot. So did you have to stand in the parking lot and have this told to you? Or?
Yep. That's what happened.
Goodness, so you had to go get all the stuff back out of the trunk, and
yep.
You thought it was a raid.
We thought it was a raid, and when people realized that all it was an announcement of Steve Jobs leaving Apple, it was like, "Oh God, is that all? Who cares?"
So people really didn't have that much of an attachment to him at that point.
Nope.
Wow.
Not at all.
He had made himself
that unpopular with us.
So I understand that before Steve went, there was a project called the Big Mac that evolved into the next box.
In some sense, it evolved into the next box, and in other senses, it really had become, eventually, that's what the Mac 2.
The Mac 2.
That's what the Mac 2 was. But there was actually a project, and I don't know its code name, but it was in cooperation with Silicon Graphics, and it never saw the light of day.
Wow.
So.
Well, so that would have been more of a beefy system workstation for education or something like that.
Yeah, that was the idea, with a software bundle similar to the Next, but.
So, well, that's the other Steve Jobs story.
There's many Steve Jobs stories. Anyway, mixed in here, although it looks a little worse for wear, here's a...
Oh, and an Intel 8085 assembler language reference card. Where did this come from?
It was in the middle of my diskettes.
Interesting.
Why,
the 8085 discontinued and did not evolve in, well, the 8086.
8085 wound up being inside of a number of computers.
Yeah. Not least of which the Xerox Docutech printer launched in 1990, which had 24.
Actually, the 8085 is an internal controller in a lot of different things.
Hey, thanks for listening to Digibarn Radio. And a final word from Bruce.
This piece is licensed under the Creative Commons license, which is visible on our page and allows non-commercial use with attribution and share alike.
Thank you very much.